know, the dogs and the chickens and the lions. It must be time.
Why are you injury?
And now it's time for another episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Brain Injury Radio is sponsored by the TBI Support Network.
Find them on the web at www.tbisn.com.
And now, Brain Injury Radio.
And now the best of Brain Injury Radio.
Please be advised this is pre-programmed and thank you for listening to Brain Injury Radio.
Well, hi there. This is your usual hump night host, Kim Justice, just taking in our new summer intro. Interesting. I like that a lot more than the other one. I do like that. So hosts that might be out there listening or catching this later on, when you go to the startup audio, you'll see new summer intro. And if you like what you just heard, make sure that that's playing. Welcome to Brain Injury Radio. Did I say this is Kim Justice? I think I did. Good. I've got some people on the line and I'm glad because I need them tonight. And I'll tell you guys why a little later. And I'm going to unmute your mic so you hang on 727 and 250. I'm going to read a message I've been reading from Lori Purdy Fatel, who is on before me on Wednesdays. That would be, 5 o'clock Pacific, the second and fourth Wednesday. She works closely with the peer support line, and she sent out a memo. Do you know someone who has suffered brain injury? Concussion, contusion, accidental injury, I always have a hard time with that one, closed head injury, traumatic brain injury, acquired brain injury, anoxia, hypoxia, dementia, tumor, stroke, aneurysm, amnesia, Parkinson's disease, brain cancer. A support line is now available to provide telephone support to those who suffer from all levels of brain impairment. The number 4, PEER, P as in Paul, E-E-R, 1-1, is a survivor-run, funded, operated, and managed emotional helpline. We do not give medical advice, but we do have 2 compassionate ears. We have survived some form of brain injury, or we are a survivor who is significant in the life of a survivor. The number to call is 855-473-3711, or if it's easier to remember, 855-4-PEER-11. Live operators are available from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If a call comes when an operator is not free, please do leave a message. Messages are returned on a regular basis. Again, that number is 855-473-3711. Tonight, I wasn't going to make it, as most of you saw or will hear in the archive later. The show was posted 10 minutes before it was supposed to go on. There was a little bit of a mix-up tonight. I didn't realize Mike was on earlier and had some technical difficulty, and I was having some difficulty of my own and was absent to the world in my basement today. I'll tell you more about that later, and walked by and caught his message when it was too late for me to do anything about it, and I still don't know exactly what happened in his case. I double-checked the couple things. I'm not sure why a show started on top of his. Nobody else was booked and nothing else listed. So I guess it was just one of those Martian technical difficulties that all we hosts have dealt with from time to time. But Mike, if you're out there, come on. I'm happy to have you take over the controls and do your show. It looked very interesting. And it looks like my couple callers just dropped. So 727 and 250 called back in. Tonight I was going to talk a little bit about challenges and how we face down our challenges. in brain injury life or in life with a brain injury. How will we put that? In any case, you two both had called in and had your hands up, so please call back in, 727 and 250. I saw you out there, and I want to know how you face down the challenges that you have in your life. Sometimes we do it as gracefully as possible, and others, we are the beast, our own beast, and the beast of everyone else around us. And that's tough, because then we feel bad about ourselves, we alienate those around us, and it's not a way to be. But it's just the way we are sometimes, which is not an excuse for bad behavior. It's a declaration of understanding and a willingness to move forward and meet challenges with more grace. But boy, I tell you, sometimes when you got the full basket syndrome going, it's a tough, what an order. I can't go through with it. And the other night we were talking a little bit about spirituality, and I'm not selling any brand of religion or pushing any kind of spirituality if that's not your thing, but I don't really know anybody who's been able to handle life on life's terms by themselves all the time with any modicum of grace and dignity. Normally people get stuck and they start going the wrong direction. And so it helps to have support from people with like mind, and it helps to have a power, to have a belief in a power greater than ourselves. Because if you're like me, there are times when you felt like quitting on yourself, like it just wasn't worth the trouble. And where I get the strength I need to keep plodding ahead until the sun's shining again is from the God of my understanding. So the other night I was saying, I can't, he can, I'll let him. And I've been trying really hard to do that, but I have had a hell of a week and don't remember one quite as challenging as this since back when my brains blew up in 1995, so that's huge. But I'm glad that I have a caller. I know this caller popped in on my Wednesday night show, and we had a guest going on, and so I'm going to open up the line right away tonight and let 727 on the air. Are you with me?
Me?
Yes, you.
Hello.
Michael, Tim, is it you?
I wrote my book is about this. Moving forward and spiritual. I have a brain injury. But I don't want to preach to anybody anyhow, anyway. You know what I mean? You're right about that. But I call it my higher power. That is not, you know, saying anything bad about anything. You know what I mean?
I do.
People can call it their higher power.
Yes, and they can define that any way that they want to, but the important thing is
know
that they're not the be-all, end-all, that there is a power greater than ourselves that's going to be the one to lead us to find our inner strength and power that we can't tap into ourselves sometimes. Don't you think so, Michael?
Because we all need the inner, we all, especially us brain injured people, we all need inner power. We need inner power because the doctors, they just don't, you know, every case is different. They may figure out a couple of cases, but every case is different, and it's through our own willpower that we keep going, you know?
Absolutely. Tell us, Michael, as long as you're on here, why don't you give us a plug for your book? It's a wonderful book. I encourage everybody to look it up and and read it. Michael's got a great story, okay, a great book, and he's worked real hard.
Yeah, the first one is called, my accident happened a long time ago, as you know, and there was nothing out there. I have no psychological, you know what I mean? No therapies, no at these homes or anything. So I had to do it all on my own. But I push myself very hard every day. And push myself very hard every day. And my first book is called Silent Cries. That was my beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything. This is what I've been told. My accident happened in 1970. So this is what I've been told through the years. Because I was wondering what happened to me. And this is what I've been told. I put together the pieces. And my second book called Traveling Forward is how God has been so good to me down here in Florida. And that's basically it, because that's where I am right now, in Florida.
Yeah. Lucky you. Is it hot? Is it hot and muggy there?
90 degrees today. But you see, this is what I need. This is what I need for my back. You know what I mean? My left side is so weak because of my accident and not knowing what to do, that I need the heat. And every time I go to a therapist, a physical therapist, he tells me that my accident was too long ago. We can't do anything for you.
Huh. So, that's a hopeful message, isn't it?
Yeah. It just makes me a little more upset and keeps me going at my pace, you know?
Yeah, I bet. Michael, because I've had a hard week, tell us, so Silent Cries and Traveling Forward by Michael, and spell your last name for us.
B-I-A-F-O-N-E.
There you go.
I'm on Facebook for people. I'm on Facebook. I only talk to brain-injured people on Facebook. I only talk to brain-injured people and groups. I don't deal with anybody else. I don't want to be on Facebook. But to spread the word, I'm on Facebook. And meandmichael.org is my Facebook page. Someone help me make that.
Great.
Meandmichael.org. Yeah, it's very easy. It's very easy. And I try to keep up with, I love to talk to brain injured people because I'm one, you know, my family.
Yes.
That for 36 years, I didn't even know anybody was out there, believe it or not. I thought I was the only one with this problem. And it goes through that all in the book. And that's why it's called Silent Cries, you know?
I do. I read that book, and I think it was great.
Yeah.
I could relate to a lot of it. I didn't go as long as you, good God, but I went 17 years, and it's it is a crying shame that people should have to go such a extended period of time when there's millions of us out there not knowing anyone else, not being released with a playbook for us or our family or loved ones. Nobody knows what the hell's going on, including us, and there doesn't seem to be any help out there for us yet. There's a lot of organizations out there.
I've had a good life. Don't get me wrong, I've had a good life. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't want to bring up God or anything, but he's taking care of me very well. who I've never really asked the question, is there anybody else out there like me? You know what I mean?
I do.
Because I just pushed myself so hard every day to be normal. That's all I wanted to be, was normal, you know? And you can't be normal when you have a brain injury.
Well, you can't be the same as you were before,
no,
you know?
Right.
I'm beginning to wonder if there's anybody who's normal out there these days, Michael.
Tell you the truth, now that I look around, then so do I.
yeah, maybe ordinary and otherwise or something, but I don't know if anybody's quite normal, at least nobody I've run into lately. But then, you know, I've been a little frustrated and overloaded lately, so I've been having kind of a hard time.
That's terrible to hear. That's terrible to hear. What's happening with you?
Well, you'll enjoy hearing, well, not you won't enjoy hearing this, but I know that you've been a builder. You've built ramps and done all that stuff before. So
I still do that, yeah.
That's what I thought. Well, we got a new house that we just moved to a week ago, and the 3 weeks before that, we were having some renovations done, so we had saved our money and you know, this was going to be the place we're going to be carried out of feet first, or, you know, to the old folks' home or wherever it is that we wind up ultimately. And we got here and one of the things we did was finish the basement. And we did these things that 3 weeks before we moved in, because we learned last year when we remodeled the bathroom at the other house that I don't do well with the sensory overload of the strangers in the house and the dogs barking and the pounding going on and the drilling going on and the mess going on. I just don't do very good. So we decided that we wouldn't live there while it was going on. I'd just go over and kind of oversee it, but then I could
watch
go home and
oversee.
Yeah, collect myself a little bit and go home to the other house. So we moved in, and we hadn't been there 24 hours, and one of the things that we did was finish the basement. And this had been a completely unfinished basement, and we put beautiful wood flooring in it, and they framed it, and they put up the, you know, the drywall, and Jesus, drywall dust never goes away. That shit stays with you forever. But anyway, the place painted was looking beautiful, and nobody had even seen it yet except the workers and my husband and I, because it had only been 24 hours. We moved in. We, you know, had worked all day moving, and the first night, Friday night, I just fell on my face. I was so tired and went to sleep. And so the shutoff valve or whatever it is down the basement had a little bit of a drip to it. And so we called Jim, the good plumber, and he came over, and I guess it was God's grace. I don't know. Sometimes you got to question it. You have to accept it, even if you don't understand it. Let me put it that way. But I said to Gary, my husband, I said, oh, God, I said, he's probably going to shut off the water. I got to run some bath water real quick, and I want to take a bubble bath and relax a little bit and then, you know, try to do some unpacking. Yeah, it felt good because we're stiff. We've been moving boxes and packing and doing all this stuff. Well, anyway, Jim happened to still be down there, the plumber, when I let the bath water out. And all of a sudden, it started coming up through our new wood floors, through the floors. And Jim had to cut out a piece of the drywall where the main pipe is located. And God bless him, he tried so hard. He felt so sorry for us because he had kind of known what we had been through. He had been doing some work for us in the 3 weeks prior. He crawled around in the crawl space. he looked everywhere. He did everything he could do, and he said, you know, this is coming through the floor. This is beyond my scope. You really need to call one of these places that's got the fancy cameras, you know, that can look into the guts of the house and all of that. Yeah. So we did. They came out Saturday, and they told us that the main pipe under our basement was so corroded that when they put the camera in, it started crumbling around the camera, and that 32 feet, which is three quarters of what we finished with beautiful wood flooring, was going to have to be jackhammered out. They were going to have to replace the pipe and then pour concrete. So all last week, which was our first week in the house, the guy came to actually locate a second tool. That was on Saturday where that guy said that. On Monday, a guy comes with the second tool to pinpoint, you know, the pipe and exactly where it's at and how far it's going to be. And I guess we should be grateful in some ways because it could have been worse, and where it wide off and went out the front of the house, it might have gone outside, broken up our sidewalk, through the front yard, the whole deal, and it would have been tens of thousands of dollars. Instead, it was a surprise $7,200 just for them to jackhammer up all of the renovation of the basement floor
that we had done. That's a lot, too.
Yes, that was a lot. The work was a lot, and it's just gone. And then we had a moat, you know, down in the basement. They come one day and jackhammer up your concrete down there and leave it all opened. And the next day they come back and replace the pipe, which I've got sitting out leaning against the garage. And the next day they come and pour concrete on it, and then you can't put anything heavy on it for 48 hours. So it pretty much ruined, and then, you know, the flying concrete was nicking up our new paint and drywall, and they had to cut out some of the floorboard, you know, that had gotten put in. And I just kind of stood there in shock. I was already on sensory overload from the prior months selling and... Yeah, moving and selling my house and my other house and all of that stuff, and then overseeing the workmen for 3 weeks. And we thought we had just landed, you know, finally after a month and this grueling day of moving the day before, and just watched what we created literally, I guess, go down the drain. And so
in your beautiful house that you thought was ready to go and all.
Yep, and then even better, the cherry on the sundae was last night. So now they've poured the concrete. But in the meantime, the other thing, too, is as far as expense, it wasn't just losing the reno, and it wasn't just them jackhammering the basement and what they charge, but we had to call the movers back to move half of what was in the basement up into our garage. And they're going to come back a third time to move the stuff back down, but we don't know what we're going to be able to do with the floor. I mean, it's the concrete's poured, but, you know, the wood was ruined, and I don't know that we can redo what we did before, and so we're kind of at a standstill. Part of the floor is still there, the one-fourth of it, and that's where I'm having to move all the furniture back to until we can decide. But in the meantime, all week it's been in the garage, and there's been more construction workers and noise, and all the sensory overload I hoped to avoid has been going on this last week. And then I'll be damned, last night there was no weather called for at all, and all of a sudden, but it was blistering hot. It was in the 90s yesterday, and just hot and muggy and humid. And all of a sudden, at about 6 o'clock, it started raining, and it never stopped until 2 o'clock in the morning, and it rained 6 inches around here. And I went down in the basement, And of course,
no.
the main pipe was fine, but the stuff that we didn't move into the garage, we moved over to the unfinished side of the basement. And I looked down, and there's water coming out from between the boxes on the unfinished side of the basement. And so, of course, right then I just sat down and just started crying. Right. It was like, what can you do? You know, you're powerless. You just sit there, get some towels. It was late at night. You know, I went down, I got some towels. And then all day today, my husband and I spent down in the basement, you know, getting rid of, there was a lot of books, you know, that were in boxes, and we dug out the shelves and dusted them off and put them on the, what used to be wood floor that we haven't had time to think of what we're going to do with yet. We had to get these shelves up so we could get the books out of the boxes and get them in. And so we spent the whole day drying up the basement. We don't know what that's coming from. It's totally on the other side of the, out of the, you know, the other side of the room. And I was so tired. I wasn't going to show up tonight to do the pinch hit. I was going to put...
I think you guys that run this radio show are so amazing how you guys do it, because my head would freak. I would go like, what happens is my head goes blank. My brain just shuts off when it's on overload. And I just have to like stop talking. You know?
Yep.
And this is what I say in silent cries, that I went in the corner of, sometimes I just had to sit in the corner of my room and cry, because my brain wouldn't operate. I couldn't think anymore because it was on such an overload.
Yep,
and
my husband
sounds like an overload.
It was, and I reacted much like you. There was several times the last couple days where I've had to go in and just go to bed, and I've had a couple of times where I've blown up mean at people who have irritated me. Most, you know, a couple of the people, it's because they didn't do the job they told me they were going to do when they were going to do it. That annoyed me because it happened so much with those workmen the last 3 weeks that I was so sick of hearing everybody's excuses that I was just ready to bitch slap or strangle somebody. You know what I mean?
It sounds like so many people.
My goodwill was just about running out. Now they were going to find a horse's head in their bed, you know.
instead of taking bubble baths, you know what I found for me, that when I build a ramp in 90 degrees, you know what I do? I swim now. The only thing I know to do that makes my body feel good and gives me a little exercise besides building the ramps is swimming. I go to the Y and I jump in the pool. You got to see the steam rise. I am so hot. You take a bubble bath. I swim.
Good for you. Well, you get a lot more exercise doing that than I do in the bubble bath.
Yeah, I just jump in the pool and swim.
Good for you. Well, now that's a good way to meet challenges. Do you ever find when you're done crying or isolating in your room, do you ever go work out any of your frustration and tight muscles doing that swimming? Do you use that as a tool? That's good.
I never thought of it as a tool, but that's probably about what, you know, what it is, because I still isolate myself. You know what I say? People say, no, you're not, because I talk to people, but I'm a very shy person, you know?
Yes.
I don't know if my brain did that to me or something, but I'm a very shy person. I would rather not talk to people. I would rather just watch what they do and listen to them talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Because
I've never.
It all has to do with your brain injury. You know?
Yeah.
I'm very afraid. The one thing that I'm very afraid about is that when I'm talking, I know exactly what to say in all circumstances because I'm 52 now, and I've been through a lot of stuff. I've been to hell and back is how
yeah.
I explain it in my book. And but when I have good things to say, I'll start talking, and then my brain will go blank. And I don't know what to say. You know what I mean?
I do. That's
what
I call something shiny. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
off rails, goes off the rail.
Yeah. I'm so glad to hear that you're running. You're doing Saturday night. Are you going to be doing Saturday night at this radio station now?
Well, no. We lost our Saturday host some time ago, and I've been subbing most of the time, but I want to thank Matt Duff in the last 2 weeks when we were going through the actual packing and the moving. He did the last two Saturdays, but we haven't been actively looking for a new Saturday night host, so I'm usually here and try to just, I do it different. You know, on my regular show, you know, I usually have a guest on the first half and then do music and open mic the second, but on Saturdays it's more casual. If people want to call in and talk about what's on their mind, then I just, you know, let them have the time and the mic from the very beginning. And
that's so good to, because you know, Kim, I try with my books, now that I'm on Facebook, all that I say to people that are on, other Facebook members, is if you know somebody, reach out and touch them, reach out and tell them we're out there. To come talk to us. I hope nobody has to live, because don't forget, I went to bed every night during this time, during the 36 years that I didn't know anybody was out there. I went to bed every night, and everything had to go through my mind that I'm so alone, and why can't there be another person like me that had an accident like me? And I tell people to reach out and see if you can touch somebody, you know?
Yeah.
Touch somebody. Even touch somebody like a cousin or something. What do they call them? Caregivers. Caregivers
exactly.
are the greatest. Caregivers are the greatest people because those people have not had an accident. And they understand. They're a little more, you know, a little more together than us people that have had the accident. You know, their brain hasn't been shook around.
Yeah.
And I tell them to reach out and try to touch somebody. I used to work at a hospital in the radiology department, and every time someone came in, Kim, every time someone came in that was really hurting, I would go up to them and touch their hands and say, look at me. You wouldn't believe what I've been through. Really, it'll get better. Just give it time. That's what everyone has to understand. And that's what Silent Christ Traveling Forward tries to show. That if you give it time, it's not going to heal overnight. It's not going to heal in a year. But give it time, and it will get better. Believe that it will get better, and it will get better. You know what I mean, Kim?
I do. You know, your state of mind and the frame of reference that you allow yourself to be in, you know, if you're one of those who gets real discouraged and you go in and, you know, hide and put your head under the covers like I did a couple times this week, that's okay to have a mood, but when it becomes a habit, it becomes self-defeating and self-destructive. And the only way, you know, you can feel your feelings, and we all feel, you know, sadness, depression, regret, shame, guilt, but we also can all feel, even if we're different than we used to be, we can still be capable of doing things and taking positive actions, like what you said. You know, for us to keep it, we have to reach out and give it to others, and that makes them feel good, which makes us feel good. And when we go out and try to do something new that maybe we didn't do before, in your case, it might have been swimming, it makes your body feel better. It also keeps you in better shape, and that makes you feel good about yourself. And so those are the things that, you know, everybody's entitled to a pity party, but you just can't party too long. You got to pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and plot your next move, moving forward. You
I wasn't trying to tell people to have a pity party. I'm just telling people to, you know, believe. You got to believe it's going to get better. It's
definitely.
You know?
But
and,
people do.
And, you know, it's
you know but
thing
people
I tell
do.
People? Yeah, you know, it's another thing I tell people, Kim. We're survivors. We're not statistics. We're survivors for a reason. We're still on Earth for a reason. Use that to be good to other people. You know?
Yeah, and we don't always know what that reason is, but we have to have faith that there's a reason. And a lot of times I think, you know, when I'm thinking along those lines, I have to believe a lot of the time that part of the reason is that, you know, we're going to be able to help others, which makes it weird that we went so long without the opportunity. But that's another twist on it, because here's you and here's me, people who went long periods of time left in the dark, yet there are some other people fortunate enough, you know, that get into something today, and they've got a great team of specialists, and they got a supportive, understanding family, and they got support groups all around. So it takes some of everything for the millions out there to be able to relate and feel validated and know that there's others like them out there, and that if you and me can do it, they can do it too if they just believe and take appropriate action. You know, you can't shoot yourself in the foot and say, well, I believe, but never get off the bench. You got to get off the bench and get into the game. You know, that's how you show you believe, is by taking the positive action of having the faith of knowing that things are going to turn out maybe not like you thought, maybe even better than you thought, but at least good enough that the fact that your life was spared was for a reason. And you don't have to know right now what that reason is. You just play ball, and it will come.
Yep. Well, like you said in the beginning, you know, I build ramps. I work with, I do a bunch of things with volunteering. And you really feel your worth when you do something like that. I've built over 300 ramps in my county. I've been doing ramps for about 10 years. And I've built over 300 ramps in my county. And I'm really recognized for that, you know?
And, look how many people you've helped by doing that, though.
And I shake everyone's hand before I leave. And I joke around with them. I tell them, don't worry about the black Lincolns driving by. They're only my cousins. You know, straight being Italian, too. It's only my cousins checking on my work, making sure I was there. You know? And they laugh.
Yeah. Well, you got a pretty special car anyway yourself, don't you? Or you did?
Well, I did have, yeah. And you questioned me on that car. You questioned me, if I remember right, last time, but we don't need to bring that up now.
I love that car, but okay, all right, your cousins, I think that's pretty funny, but look at all the people you've helped.
You know, I tell them, It makes them laugh. I like to make people laugh, you know? I didn't laugh. I don't laugh. I don't smile because... But then, don't forget, my injury happened in 1970, Kim. You know? So I was way out there. It's not like it happened last year or something, you know?
Right. You've had time.
My injury happened a long time ago.
Well, you've had time to adjust, but in that long time, for so long, even though you adjusted on your own to your deficits like I did, it didn't mean that we understood it, and it didn't mean that we didn't feel like there was something wrong with us because we didn't know any other people like us. And so, you know, I think we did what the best of what we could do with what the cards
exactly.
we were dealt
exactly.
with.
Exactly. Yep.
But we didn't get it necessarily. We just did what we have to do. And I think that's what a good message that a lot of people have to remember is to have faith and do the next right thing, you know, the next right
thing.
And
that's exactly what this radio station does for people.
Well, thank
you.
Know
you.
What I mean?
I hope you should always say that on this radio station because that's exactly what this radio station does. You reach out to people, you know. People can hear, and you. I don't know if you go by a script or what you go by, but you always seem to say the right. Everybody on this radio show always seems to say the right thing.
Well, for the people that need to hear it, I think that everybody can take something away that's of value, both from the hosts and the guests, because if people are listening to the show, it means that they have a need that's not being met. And hopefully we can provide, if not an answer to the need, some comfort in letting them know that other people have that need too, and other people have worked through it and overcome it. There's a lot of overcomers here. You know, you said about survivors, and some people call them thrivers, and some people call them overcomers, but, you know, there's a lot of people that were ready to pick up their marbles and go home permanently after their brain injury, and that doesn't have to be one of the possible solutions. It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Yeah, what?
You know what? We just had a jamboree, and the lady got up. And do you know how many brain injuries there are in just the state of Florida?
No, how many?
You think they're alone? 215,000 people.
Just in Florida?
Just in Florida. I was shocked. I was shocked.
Wow.
215,000 people that they know about in the state of Florida. Think of how many more are out there that they don't know about.
Right, undiagnosed and all that. Now, tell me, how did you find that out again, Michael, in Florida? How did you find that out?
The head of the Brain Injury Association in the state told us.
I think that would be interesting for people because most people in their state have a brain injury association or an alliance.
Yeah,
it would be interesting for everybody out there.
Yeah. I write to them all. There's one in every state, 52 of them. I write to them all.
Then that's
so I know
real good
for
people to look and see their own state. And how many people are in their own state? Because, you know, there's power in numbers. And if you can look on the site and see how many other people are in your state, you might have a whole bunch of people in your city or very close by. And if you don't have a support group and you want one, there's the seeds to plant the grass right there. So
the Brain Injury Association of Virginia. That's where the national headquarters are. They have every state, every support group listed. If you get a hold of the Brain Injury Association of Virginia, they'll let you know.
Super.
I learned that through my state, too.
Well, it sounds like your state's got it going on. That's great. So I encourage everybody out there to check your state.
Well, no, check the Brain Injury Association of Virginia first. That's where the national headquarters are. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at a magazine right here, Kim. It's called Challenge. It says March is Brain Injury Awareness Month. You know that, right?
Yep, I do.
Brain Injury Association of America. They don't call them of. And that is in Virginia.
Okay.
If they go on Facebook, they're all over Facebook and all.
I'm typing that in to the chat room right now, located in Virginia, but I put Brain Injury Association of America, located in Virginia.
Yep, Virginia. Yep.
Okay, good.
Brain Injury Association of America. Yeah, Spring Hill, you don't need the address, but it says Virginia.
Gotcha.
And they'll let them know there's a bunch of resources out there. There's a bunch of resources to get people involved, you know? Everyone should be involved. Yeah.
They
get
should, and you know,
they're,
you gave me a good
alone.
Segue. You gave me a good segue. I've got to say two things real quick since you said that in the You're Not Alone category. And one, again, is that 4-PEER-1-1 that I was reading about at the beginning. That's a one-on-one help support line where one survivor can call and talk to another. There's Brain Injury Radio, of course. And I would also bring up Lash Publishing. Only because you can't beat the price, but check out lapublishing.com. They sponsor my Wednesday night show. They only do material on brain injury, whether you're a survivor, a caregiver, a neuroprofessional, a large veteran section, and they're the leading publisher on brain injury, blast injury, PTSD, and concussion. So I encourage you to go there, and when you get to lapublishing.com, you'll look over on the side, see where it says Brain Injury Journey. When you go there, you'll see you have a choice of getting the hard copy magazine sent to your home at a reasonable price. Mm-hmm. They come out 4 times a year. Or the exact same magazine, they have a free online version. And if you do nothing else, I encourage you to sign up for that free online version of their magazine because there's some really great survivors in there that are doing writing about things that affect all of us. They have at one time or another, or they will at some time in the future. And if nothing else, Les and I the other night were talking about this kind of thing making us, whether regardless of how compassionate we were or weren't as people prior to our injury, what we've seen in the course of our injury has given us a new level or dimension of compassion. I talked about that with my guest Ruby Taylor last week, and so you know, definitely want to check out those resources that Michael and I are talking about, because all of those solidify that you're not alone, because they're voices of survivors. All the hosts on Brain Injury Radio are survivors. All of the operators on 4-PEER-1-1 are survivors. At Lash and Associates, most of the material is written by survivors. And part of the owners are survivors. So those are some really good resources.
Yeah, both of them.
If you don't have a support group in your town right now, again, Michael's suggestion of checking with the Brain Injury Association of America, which is located in Virginia, they will tell you what is available in your state. Maybe you can call there. You know, even the act of looking something up and making the phone call are self-affirming behaviors, because it's better than doing nothing and staying stuck. You wouldn't believe that something like Googling Brain Injury Association of America and calling the number to see if they have any support groups in your area or what kind of resources they may or may not offer to you, because I hear some are better than others, but nonetheless, it's not that outcome that's as important at that moment as you being willing to take the action, even little steps at a time, that are going to build. It's just like building a house, right? You start with a brick and you put in some mortar to make sure it's solid and it's getting foundation, and you keep adding the bricks, adding the bricks, adding the bricks, and before you know it, it's a house. But the house isn't built because you think it. The house is built because you put in the work.
Can I say something, Kim?
Yes, please.
Can I say something?
Yes.
What I did when I found out that I had a brain injury, I just started calling 800 numbers. You'd be shocked at all the 800 numbers there are in America and how much they could help you out. And as far as, you know what I tell everybody? I build foundations. I don't build houses. I send the houses off to get, I only build foundations. If someone's trying to learn, don't try to build the house. Just start at the bottom and build the foundation, and you'll be shocked at what you learn.
And
as far as Lash Publication go, you didn't mention that Lash is my publisher.
That's right. Lash is your publisher,
Lash
aren't
is
they?
My,
so,
you, yeah, Lash is my. That's how we met.
That's
me
right.
And you, we met through Lash Publications.
I thought I met you before that.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. But yeah, you can find Michael's book through Lash Publishing. My book is also listed on Lash Publishing. But Michael used them
What is your book called?
In a Flash, Miracles Here and Beyond. And I have my own website. It's inaflash.org. And that tells all of the places where I'm located.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I got pretty fancy after just writing the book. I've got an e-book and also an audio book of the same thing, so whether a person wants to use an e-reader or listen to it on their iPod or whatever they want to do, it's everybody has it, Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and there's
I just did all that too.
Yeah, it's
I
pretty
just did all that, and we have down here in Florida in Tampa Bay, they're opening up 2 Amazon warehouses.
No kidding. You'll know where all the stuff comes from in two days.
20 minutes away from me. I'm going to learn all about Amazon now.
I bet you'll get even better than 2-day delivery. God, I don't know how they do that for the whole rest of the United States. Do that 2-day delivery or whatever it is, 3-day delivery. It's short anyway.
I have no idea. But,
well, that's interesting. That's a big thing. You know, we got PayPal here where I live, but I don't use that. But I know
I'm
a lot of
PayPal.
People who do. Well, PayPal is located where I live. No, I don't. But I tried to use it in the beginning, and something got kind of screwed up, and so I don't use that anymore. I just use my regular plastic, but I do go to Amazon and those places. So, you know, I figure people are so hacked, you know, the computer thieves these days, that I don't know, the least of my worries is putting my visa out to Amazon, I guess. I mean, hell, they can crack your bank account, find out everything. They can crack the government, find out everything. Yeah, yeah, so.
Can I give praise to one person?
Yes, please.
Can I give praise to one person? I have these people put in my life that have no injury, and have helped me through. And I'd just like to say thank you to Lisa for helping me.
Oh, Lisa's a jewel. She has been a good partner.
Yeah, she unbelievable, Kim. She helps me do when my brain shuts off, Lisa steps in. And I have my book on everything now. My two books. And she just helps me out. I can't do half of the stuff because the forms are so long and I just can't comprehend, you know?
I'm
getting older, I'm having less and less comprehension skills.
You know, you might be real interested. My guest this week on Wednesday, she went over so well the first time. I had her back a second time about 8 weeks later, and she did even better. And so she's coming back a third time, Dr. Maria Romanis. She's a neurologist and had a TBI, went through a lot of the getting BS'd around like a lot of us do, changed her perspective. But you'll be interested. Her topic this time is going to be on attention and tools, I guess, to help keep your focus and your attention. So that's this Wednesday. Even if you don't catch it live, you might want
to. I never went to a neurologist. I don't know what they are. I haven't gone to a doctor. I don't know what they are.
Well, you listen to her, though, as another survivor, not what she does for a living, because she changed her feeling about the way things had been being done, you know, in her living. And so very interesting, though, that will happen to be the topic, is attention and focus with Dr. Maria Romanis. Yes. So if you're out there listening and you heard her the first couple times, and a lot of you did really like her, she's going to be back, and that'll be our topic Wednesday. Let me just say, if anyone wants to call and join with Michael and I, the number here is 424-243-9540, and you press 1. So that we know that your hand is up and that you want to talk. And you can feel free to join us and talk about this or anything else that's on your mind. I'm going to read one thing, and then somebody else's hand came up, Michael, so we'll invite somebody on for a minute. But this is something we're kind of talking about before, and I've been reading this a little bit lately because I've had to keep going back to it myself, and so I've just been sharing it. I often share where I'm at. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept myself, I could not look at myself realistically. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and in my attitudes. Acceptance is not submission. It is acknowledgement of the facts of a situation, then deciding what you're going to do about it. So, that's a little piece
on... Wow, that was beautiful.
Thank you. I find that I go back to that a lot because I need the reminder. Just when I'm trying to get caught up in controlling things and getting frazzled because I can't, and I'm spreading myself in too many directions and starting to misbehave either again, you know, with myself or those around me, or my balance is off, my routine is off, then I know I need to shift and refocus like you were talking about and pay attention to what's important, and I got to let some things go, like the basket's too heavy and I got to start throwing pieces out that aren't mandatory. I got to stop dead in my tracks, realize I'm overwhelmed, look at the things in the basket and see what I can toss that A, maybe I never needed to deal with in the first place, B, I don't need to do it right now. It's not priority, it's pressure, and lighten that load. And a lot of times we can do that, like you said, just by talking to other people and reaching out to someone else. And speaking of that, area code 585, you're on the air with Kim and Michael.
Hi, Kim. This is fantastic. Frank, how are you?
Well, I'm tired, Frank, but how are you? It's good to hear from you.
I've been kind of followed you online for the past week or so. I understand you've been having a heck of a time moving, but I really want to address the issue about people getting depressed and upset. Because, as you know, my story is in the 101 stories that the Chicken Soup for the Soul Recovering from Traumatic Brain Injury is going to be putting out soon. And I'm not ready to start plugging that right now. I do want to tell you that in this book, there are two stories about people who have killed themselves because they got so damn depressed. And they really ripped my heart out when I read these stories.
Aww.
And people have to realize that 2%, that's 2 out of 101 people that kill themselves for whatever reason. They have a traumatic brain injury and they lost it and they didn't know what the heck to do. And I'm kind of remembered of that one girl who was on our show and she got banned. I think you know who I'm talking about. And
uh-huh.
she couldn't make this switch either. And there are people out there who have to understand that you have to endure it for a while, but then you have to flip this hero switch.
Yep.
Which I call it because every hero, like the Thing and Spider-Man and all these heroes, they thought they had been given a curse. Even the Hulk, he thought he was cursed, and he ends up saving the world in the Avengers movie. And so this means that everybody could do, even though I don't expect a person to go out and save the world from invading aliens, is what I'm trying to say. But everybody has the ability to switch to make this difference in a person's life. And they can't. And the reason I'm even talking about this is that these two stories in this book, they really got me very upset and concerned that there are people out there that don't know what the heck to do. And the best thing they can do is get plugged into one of our shows. Because everybody is listening here.
Frank, can I tell you something about my story? Do you know in 1996 I literally had a gun in my mouth? That's the only way and somebody told me to go to the doctor. And this is how it all started for me. I literally shake in my pants. I get goosebumps when you talk about people killing themselves. That's why I said reach out to people, because I literally was almost like one of those people, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Uh-huh.
Because I had nothing. I knew nobody else that had this accident or anything, had these accidents. I didn't know about 215,000 people. I didn't know where anything was. You have to reach out to people. because I was just like that. I literally had a gun in my mouth. I was going to end it all, because when you get in the sort of shape that I was in, you go crazy in your mind.
Yeah.
It seems
I'm with him. Yeah, I'm with him, Frank. I thought about it, too.
I get goosebumps. I get goosebumps on my back when Frank says that about people. I start crying all over again because
I'm sorry that you
have one of those people.
And I want to make this very clear that people shouldn't be out there thinking about killing themselves or going out and hurting other people, because they have lost their, they lost their identity. Believe me, there is a way out. You have to give, you have to figure out how to switch. I call it flipping the hero switch. And that means you have to go out there and help another person. And you have to
You got to talk it out. You got to talk it out with another survivor, like you or Kim or the station. The station is very good because the station lets us talk. You got to talk it out.
And I don't understand why. Now, I was at the brain injury conference down in Albany last weekend. It was 2 weekends ago, I think it was, where they had, I stood up during one of these talks, during lunch, I said to people, hey, there are three or four things that every person who has a brain injury should know about. And one of them is that if you have to, if you got the brain injury, it wasn't your fault, it was an automobile accident, or someone hit you on the head with a club, or go out there and you have to, now this is not a Christian, but I believe this, this is why I'm here talking to you right now. You have to go and sue someone to get recompense for whatever happened. And if you don't do that, you are going to be lost in a below poverty level paying your bills, and that means that you can't do much of anything, at least unless you have to go a different way, which I recommend doing. The second thing is that you have to realize there is a blog talk radio show. The third thing is you have to remember there is a local brain injury association meeting. And the fourth thing, I can't remember what the heck it is, but I had four or five things I talked about. And do you know there was people in the audience that didn't know half of these things? They knew either about getting a lawyer or getting or applying for SSID, but they didn't know about this. First of all, no one, half the audience didn't know about this Chicken Soup for Soul book, which blew my mind away, because you'd think that with all the publicity that Chicken Soup for Soul people are doing, that everyone would know about this book. The second thing is that people didn't know about Blog Talk Radio Show. The third thing that a lot of people didn't know about was to go and get their local TBI support groups, and no one knows about doing that. And this blows my mind. What the hell? I'm sorry. What the heck do these people do when they get out of hospital? Now, I think Brent Fuse, isn't he working on a protocol for when people go out of hospital?
Well, he is. He's writing on a thing. I think it's not only going out of the hospital, but just how they should be treated and recognized in the first place, because most of the first responders don't know what they're looking at when they see it. And so I think he's, going down that road, yes.
Okay. And then there was something else which I can't remember what I was going to say. But there are, about the doctors in these stories, the 101 stories, most of these people, they said they're written, some of them are written by caregivers and some are written by thrivers, too. And most of the caregivers wrote these stories about the fact they were told by the doctor that their son or daughter wasn't ever going to be more than a vegetable. And some of you said you had to pull a plug on those people. And that really got me upset, in that doctors have a medical responsibility, not, and I think the reason they do that is they want to give people hope, but hope is all you got when you get into this traumatic brain injury. When you have an incident like that, you have to hope. You have to hope for the best. You have to pray for the best and prepare yourself for the worst. And the worst isn't having a doctor come out there and tell you, well, your son is, or your daughter, she can't breathe, and we had to stick a straight tube down her throat, or we had to put her on medicine that's going to keep her alive for maybe a week or 2 weeks, and that 99% of these people don't die. And I think they got that all wrong. I'd love to hear a doctor come on and tell us why they do that.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they do what they do, but I know I recited a story the other night. I won't recite again, but it was just about following a healthcare case from emergency room to the next couple of days, and it was very apparent to me that the decisions have been taken out of the hands. Your treatment plan has been taken out of the hands of you and your doctor and put into the hands of a bureaucrat so far removed in an ivory tower that they know you as a number or a statistic or a dollar sign, not as the patient
you
are.
That's great to hear. That's right.
You're
right. That's all you are, is a number to them.
It's sad. It's become corporate medicine. The days of Dr. Welby are gone, and we're into corporate medicine. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. In and out in 10, and it takes you 6 months to get an appointment. But I'm dying over here. Well, hang on for 6 months or pay your life insurance premium, you know?
You say that's so good.
Well, that's what I witnessed. I witnessed it last weekend with my dad. I was, you know, and normally I would have been really pissed at this doctor for what he was saying, but I had this moment of clarity. You know how you get those from time to time? Something just crystal clear pops into your mind. And what I saw was this young doctor was a puppet to the system. In fact, he even made the comment, and this is what gave me the great awakening. It wasn't really anything. He goes, I'm only the doctor around here. For him to so casually roll that off of his tongue, and he understood his place within a huge hospital, a level one trauma hospital and a university hospital, he found his way to so blithely let that roll off his tongue. I'm just the doctor. Well, who's the person that makes this decision? Oh, Susan. They don't know her last name, but she's up in the ivory tower, and you can leave a message and she'll never call you back. And she's he said he recommended this person stay another day or two, and he was overridden by the bean counter. That is criminal. Why don't they just take us out back and shoot us if the quota is not keeping up this month?
Kim,
I mean, is that crazy or what? That's not. That's crazy.
I was going to say that, I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm doing something which is distracting my mind. It's causing a pattern interrupt. But that you were saying about people don't take responsibility for anything anymore. And that's insane to have that happen, especially with a doctor or a fire responder or a policeman or something like that. They are here to protect and help us.
Yep.
I can't remember who set up the doctoral law that says don't harm anyone. You have to help them.
Yeah, that's their Agreed, the Hippocratic Oath, and that's going down the toilet right along with the Constitution. Quick, catch it before it spins all the way down.
Hey, yo, thank you for mentioning about the Constitution. I don't want to know if I go there, I'm going to be talking forever about what I think is going on in our country, which isn't going to be helpful for anybody. But thank you for... Could I pitch Monday night?
Yes, coach? Please.
Okay,
go ahead.
Monday night, Craig Celia has given me his 3 hours. I'm trying to have Lee Woodruff, Dr. Carolyn Roy Bornstein Roy on the show, who are two of the people who put together this Chicken Soup for the Soul book. I don't think I'll get Amy Newmark, but I'm trying my best. I got 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 other people who've written stories. I've been doing a story a week for the past 4 weeks. I had teachers.
Yeah, Frank, can I tell you something? I just want to tell you something. Lee Woodward is not the person that had the accident. Her husband, Bob Woodward, is the one that had the accident. Is the one you want to talk to. Why do you talk? You should be talking to him. He's the person with the accident. He knows best about what to say about the accident. Why does everyone always talk to Lee Woodward? She's only his wife.
I know, but...
Talk to Bob Woodward.
Well, that must be one of the caretaker things, Michael. They do that from time to time. They just...
But he's the person that had the accident.
Well, maybe you don't want to talk about it. You never know.
Okay, I don't know if Bob Woodruff even can talk, because in his... I haven't read his book recently, but when he got... He got blown up when he did FDA's.
Right.
I have to laugh about that. I'm not laughing about him. I'm just kind of making, because if he blown up, it makes no sense. But I think that he had a voice challenge for maybe months, and we might still have it right now. It could be 10 times worse than mine is. And I don't know when the heck that happened, but there was a policeman in Rochester. I can't remember his name, but he got shot in the head, and he went back to work, kind of like Gabby Gifford went back to the Senate. She went back too quickly, and I said to her, when that happened, I said to people on this show, I'm pretty sure, that she isn't going to make it. She's going to be... They were saying what a courageous woman she was. Well, what a dumb woman she was for thinking that she'd go back to her life within 2 or 3 months. And this happened with this police officer who got shot in the head. He went back to work, and he was placed on administrative leave again, too. And so for all I know, this might be Bob Woodruff's problem, too. I don't know when he got... his action, but everybody's action is different, and you can't really expect a person to come back out and talk. And so that's why Lee Woodruff is doing all his talking for him. At least I think that's why. And I don't really know if I'm going to be able to get her on my show. I've been talking to her. I've been writing her emails, and she hasn't replied to my last one yet. But if people could come, that'd be great. Because I'm going to have 4 or 5 or 6 other people who got their story in this book.
That's cool. Like, that's Monday night at 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern time for 3 hours this Monday. Frank will be talking about the newly to be released Chicken Soup for the TBI Soul and have several guests. Stories, including his own, and talk about that on Monday. So that's good. I'm glad that you reminded us of that. I knew that you were going to be doing one of Craig's slots, and I've just been totally lost to even not only what the date is, but what day it is. I've been in the twilight zone, so thank you for reminding us. I appreciate that. If anyone else wants to call in, 424-243-9540, and I have that other list here somewhere of our other toll-free numbers for anyone who might want to call in and join us tonight, or I might play a quick song in between. But the toll-free number in the U.S. is 855-473-3711, or outside the U.S. toll-free 202-559-7907. But the regular number, 424-243-95, works too, or you may try to Skype. We also entertain the Skyper out there, not the sniper. I'm going to bring you guys back in just a minute. Another survivor, we've been talking to survivors tonight, three that happen to be authors, and one who is not. One of the bright sides, I told a horror story about my move a little bit earlier, and it was a horror story. Michael got to hear that at the beginning of the show. But one of the joys, you know, Michael, we were talking about looking for the silver lining or trying to stay positive. One of them in my environment at the time happened to be another brain injury survivor, and he was my painter. And he is very much believes in a power greater than himself. And when I was unraveling, and he could see it. He could see it on my face, and he just knew. And he was able to snap me out of things a couple of times and help me. And I want to play a song of his. John Cruz is not only a phantasmal painter, but for my money, he's a fantastic artist. John Cruz, that's C-R-E-W-S. You can find him at johncruzblues.com. Or if you want to buy or listen to his music, at reverbnation.com/John Cruz Blues. Or on Facebook, if you're there, you're on Facebook.com/John Cruz Blues, and like him and let him know that it matters. This is a song that he wrote. His wife was prematurely taken from him by a violent crime. He was left to raise his daughter, Lindsay, who's a beautiful young lady now with two kids of her own, married and happy. But she was just a little girl when she lost her mom. And John wrote this. There was a couple of songs he wrote right around that time period for his departed. But this was one of them, and it's Sweet Tennessee.
Stop the winds of change. You can't turn the sands of time. Doors they open up before your eyes. A brand new world for her to find. She's with the captain of her soul, sailing on a sea of life, taking her home. If I could just one more time bring her back to me, yeah, we'd meet one more time in sweet Tennessee. myself, then I found love. It's kept me strong since you've been gone. We think about you every day. Our love for you lives on. She's with the captain of her soul, sailing on a sea of life, taking her home. If I could just one more time bring her back to me, yeah, we'd meet one more time in sweet Tennessee. You know our daughter grew up true and strong. You gave her the will to carry on. She's a life like you. And me, I just play in an old blues band, waiting at the station for the train to carry me home again. She's with the captain of her soul, sailing on a sea of light, taking her home. If I could just one more time bring her back to me, yeah, we'd meet one more time in sweet Tennessee.
John Cruise Blues. That always gets me. He's the captain of her soul. I think that's the higher power Michael and I were talking about earlier, and waiting for the train to carry me home. And how pathetic when he wrote this song probably 20 years ago that now he has an inoperable tumor on his brainstem. And if he was waiting for the train to carry him home, we're all praying for John that that's no time soon. This facing his maker situation has inspired him to have another CD in him that would be completely, well, it'd be bluesy and it would be John, but it would be how John has morphed since facing his mortality and starting to, he's just at the beginning, you guys who have both had your injuries for a long time, just learning about the short-term memory loss and leaving a pan on the stove burning and getting fatigued so much you know, quicker than he did before. And John is 65 now, but he's been a painter for 40 years, and once a Marine, always a Marine, has a very that kind of attitude about it. So this is a tough pill to swallow, these new changes that he's just discovering, and his situation is a little bit different and a little more ominous at the moment than ours. His last test showed that it had moved a little bit. And anyway, keep John Cruise in your prayers, and we'll play something else of his later. I see we have someone else who's arrived. 803, you're on the air, and you give me good time to say that, folks, I did just schedule the show for 2 hours tonight. I thought the fact that I did it 10 minutes before the show was going to go on when I drugged myself out of the basement that no one would know, so I thought I would be here alone for 2 hours, or I would have booked it for the regular three, but we do have 30 minutes left if you want to call in, 424-243-9540, and otherwise I'm afraid you'll have to listen to an archive for the last half, but I really do appreciate all of you who have showed up tonight. It made me feel supported and better, as long as I wanted to go hide under the bed to come out and have some of y'all show up. So I appreciate it. So Les, you got fried today in the hot sun.
In a very good way, even though I'm totally exhausted and feel like my battery's been dropped from under the car and I'm hunting for a new one. I mean, the temperature here was either 98 or 99, depending on where you were, after we had that freezing cold winter, and even as spring came, it was just bitterly cold and ice storms.
Yep.
And then today we have a 15th anniversary for our brain injury support group. And
cool.
I and a few other people worked ourselves to the bone the past several days and nights and late into the night and early into the morning, and it over and over and over. I was actually late for our 15th anniversary because I forgot some things and I had to turn around and go back and get them. I had two laptop computers and still didn't have enough. I mean, it was just flooring me. To say that you did a show on the cuff when you didn't even know if you could do it, and that's how I felt this morning when I got up and said, wow, I'm exhausted. Wow, this is our 15th anniversary of the first Dreamcatchers, before we ever had a brain injury radio show called that. And so I was all excited, and I've got a lady that's 70 years old in our group that is so active, you wouldn't believe it. She is very active, and
wow.
I mean, she smiles bigger and bigger every day. And she told me something today. She said, Les Paul, I learned by watching you, by you not being afraid to make mistakes was the best lesson I could ever have learned from you. I used to be terrified about making mistakes when I first had my injury. And I had a lot of people push me to go ahead and do it anyway. Who cares if you make a mistake? If you make a mistake, get up and do it again. Go back, do it again and again and again and again. Hopefully you don't have to do it 4 million times like I did. But today I looked back and I said, wow, 15 years, and my boss, Cindy, she said, Les, I just got to tell you, most groups don't last 15 years. This is amazing. I haven't even posted the pictures on Facebook yet. I've been too tired to do it. But it just goes to show the power of peer support, peer-to-peer support. And when survivors
Absolutely.
And the ones they call the leaders, which are hosts and people who've worked as peer supporters and things, even we need support. I came on here exhausted tonight saying, well, I need to hear some support, not even remembering whose show it was because I was so tired. And I said, I might be able to turn on my computer. And I saw your show, and I said, you know what, I'm tuning in. And that's why I'm here. I feel like it's a lifetime of support. But we also talked today about to some of the people who said, well, why don't we always have a big group of people? And it was my supervisor, Cindy Anzik. She was talking with us, and she said, I said to this Les Paul way back when he first started with the support group, because sometimes we'd have one person come, and I'm thinking, wow, we only had one person come tonight. Made me feel bad. Then we'd have 24 come 3 weeks later, and I was like, wow, why is it so different? And she said, did you know support groups are for the healing, the the motivation you need. And sometimes someone recovers to the point where they feel like they don't need it anymore. And she said, it's a think of it as a blessing when someone doesn't come back, not they don't like you anymore. And I did have several people over the past year come back and say, Les Paul, I'm moving away. I didn't feel I had the courage to do that. Now I'm moving away. I'm going and getting married. And I feel like being part of the support group gave me the strength to do that. And I'm saying, wow, this was a lady. And another guy goes, man, I can't tell you how much I thank you. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You thank the group. Don't thank me. I said, it's a group thing. If it's all about me or all about one person, I feel like it can be a defeat. Sometimes one person can be the catalyst. Josephine Prescott, my dear friend, and Cindy Anzik, her name was Milstead before she got married. She actually was the person that found me after they had made the first flyer. I actually showed the first flyer today, back 15 years ago today, and my name wasn't on it. My name was not on the very first flyer. It says HASCI, H-A-S-C-I, which stands for Head and Spinal Cord Injury Support Group, first meeting.
And wow.
It was in 1999, and it said Josephine Prescott. She's a spinal cord injury survivor. And it says Cindy Milstead, and that's my supervisor before she was my supervisor. And during that time, I was searching for myself and so lost, felt so lonely and so hurt and so broken and shattered that how could I ever, ever, ever become a host on a brain injury radio show? I'm telling you, because this show is the real stuff. It's people providing support to other people, and it's like medicine out of the heavens. It has helped me so much. That's why I came on here when I heard what you were talking about. I had to come on and say, Kim, thank you for all you do. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
You came on a night you're exhausted, and you didn't even feel like doing the show. I've done the same thing sometimes, and the other night I actually had to let my show fail on the Empowerment Zone because I just had 900 things to do in one day, and I couldn't get them all. I tried and tried and tried, and I set my show up, and I thought I had it fixed where it was going to automatically fire, and it didn't fire. I felt so bad about that. Even Constance Miller was trying to help bring it back to life and go ahead and do it, and I was helping her on my cell phone. We could not get it to start. And why I'm saying all this is we're survivors first, and we need to just be thankful that we're able to come together right here around the world and around the United States and all over England and Europe and China and unite as survivors. And
absolutely,
it's just a blessing. It means so much to be here tonight.
Well, thanks. It meant a lot for me to be here tonight. It's been one of the toughest weeks ever, and today was particularly grueling, but Mike Idell, actually, I didn't even know he had a show tonight, but it was really freakish because he took me wrong, and then I was cross at him because I had been in the basement all day and was filthy and exhausted and distraught, and I just happened to walk by my phone. I had been down there for a million hours, and he was about to go online, and something else talked over him. You know, like a different show going on.
Okay.
And he kind of wasn't happy with me about responding, and I'm like, I just came up from the dungeon and happened to walk by my phone. Let me try to log on. And then I had a few expletives because it seemed so demanding, and I thought, crap, I just walked by the telephone. What if I wouldn't have walked by the telephone, you know? I mean, and so I wasn't very nice. And then I did apologize, you know, afterward, and I did put the note in, but he had a technical difficulty earlier this evening, and so not only are we all brain injury survivors that are hosts on here trying to do our best, but there's our operator error equally coupled with technical error on a lot of different levels, whether it's Skype or Blog Talk Radio or whatever it might be. And so we appreciate the love and tolerance of the group when those kind of things happen.
Yeah.
And just, I think you all know that we're really trying, but we're brain injury radio, for Pete's sake, not perfectionist's pinky, you know. I mean, so.
Which is the beauty of it all. I'm glad it's not perfectionist, because I believe I'd walk away if it was all perfectionist. Oh, this has to be spit spot. This, everything has to be here, there, everywhere. It must be perfect order my way, hit the highway. You know, it's yuck. This is survivors putting it together and building their lives up at the same time. We're actually teaching ourselves lessons as we're trying to help other people learn lessons. It's
exactly.
A group thing. This is the world's biggest support group as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you can't get bigger than global unless you want to put one on Mars.
No, I agree. I agree. This is a great place to find that peer-to-peer support. If you're not in an area or you're unable for whatever reason to make that face-to-face contact, if you can, this isn't a replacement for that, because they each have their place. You know, don't chicken out. If you got a support group, go out and meet some of these people face-to-face before you make your decision. But as a supplement to whatever recovery program you might have going, or this might be the only thing, and hold on tight, you know, because these are life rafts, I think.
Well, one person
sent
I
by
think
God.
Of, I'm sorry, one person I think of and that brings a big answer to what you're just saying would be our wonderful friend Jenny. I've watched her sprout her wings and fly from being here. She's just grown. She's one of my biggest heroes. I really think she's amazing. All the things she's been through, all the support pages she's developed and created, and helping people all around the world herself after becoming just a guest and a caller on Brain Injury. She should be a host, I actually feel, someday when she feels like she's ready to. If she wants to, maybe not. But I think she's got that kind of personality. She's just done so much to help people with her semi-support sisterhood and so many other groups.
Yes.
She's one
active
example
in
of
a lot.
Thousands.
She is, absolutely. Well, if you hang on just a second, Frank still has his hand up, but I'm going to park you for just a minute. We were talking tonight about how we meet the challenges in our life. How do we face them down so that our challenges become our victories, or that our challenges don't defeat us? And we've heard a lot of great things tonight. And I'm going to bring the mics back on, but Mike Ciafone was on talking about silent cries and traveling forward in the beginning. And we had an exchange. I shared with him some of my hard luck hotel story for the last week. And then Frank joined us. Going to be having a big show Monday in Craig's slot for 3 hours, where he, as an inclusion, and then is going to be interviewing a number of people in the TBI Chicken Soup book. And Les has joined us after the 15th brain injury, head injury anniversary for his group. And that is incredible. That doesn't happen very often at all, not with any frequency. And so what we're all trying to do when we're building this peer-to-peer support or building a reason to keep going is we're trying to find our voice, because we lost it for a while. And then we didn't really know what to say with it. And as we move forward and take these actions we were talking about tonight, if you have faith that if you are around people holding the lantern in your path, as I have found the people here to be, it was a very dark path, and then I met people holding lanterns along the way. I realized that I was finally trying to find my voice in that place that I reside in now. And I'm not talking about the home, the roof over my head. I'm talking about the home of my soul. And you guys can all do that too. In fact, that's what we're here doing, is finding my voice. And this is by Daniel Christian. Mm-hmm.
The question never seems to change. Are you with them or are you with us? And if it's true, I am not ashamed. There shouldn't be much to discuss. But for every answer that draws you near, there is an answer that will make you run. And as long as identity remains unclear, the coward will give the easy one. We can be automatic, carefully diplomatic. I need courage to speak my choice. Now that it's been a while since my courtyard denial, I am still trying to find my voice. I am still trying to find my voice. My brother is waiting to believe. We all love him just the same. There are gifts we both receive under the same sun and rain. I can't speak out of stillness, but I'm waiting to fill this space with courage to make my choice. How can we preach salvation from our own isolation? I am trying to find my voice. I am just trying to find my voice. Never knew I would come this far. When you get too good at fitting in, it's hard to tell who you really are. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time to find my voice. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time.
Christian, and he has some really great music. You can see him at danielchristianmusic.com or at facebook.com/danielchristianmusic. I'm going to bring back, red button. You can tell I'm getting tired. I'm going to bring back Frank and bring back Les and say that I think we have a little less than 10 minutes, but I wanted to thank you guys for calling in. And we've got a comment from someone in the room that we're not alone. They made me feel isolated and deserving of what was done to me. And I think that can resonate with all of us to some degree, and that is a tragic situation and way to feel. And I think some of those stories Frank was talking about outlines that. And hopefully that book will help raise awareness for traumatic brain injury and people other than, not that it isn't good for people that are caregivers or people with brain injury, but I hope some curious people just pick it up, you know, to see what it's about and be educated by other people's stories.
Kim, I ask people go to this website, www.tbisoup.com, and pre-order the book. It's www.tbisoup.com, and order the book.
Okay. And tune in Monday night tomorrow. Let's see, tomorrow's Sunday. That would mean Julie Kintz is on at 5 o'clock Pacific with Quantum Leap, and Matt Duffin would be on after that, and the 10 or 7 Pacific spot. And tune in to them, and then Frank will do his 3-hour gig in Craig's slot on Monday. And Les Paul will be here with Dreamcatchers on Tuesday, and I'm not sure who the earlier host is that night. I apologize. But tune in yourself and find out. Work for it.
I think that's the Empowerment Zone where we all three come on. I've
No. That's Toys Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought you said Thursday.
I'm sorry.
Tuesday. I was going in sequence of who's on tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday.
Who brings networking right now?
Oh, good Lord. Why don't you just see if you can scramble people's eggs just a little bit more tonight as we're closing down the show. Oh, God. We want to thank our sponsor, TBI Survivor Network, for sponsoring Brain Injury Radio. We appreciate that, and do check out braininjuryradio.org. Get a username and password for braininjuryradio.org. It's where we've taken all of our pursuits and put them on one website. You get information about 4-PEER-1-1, the ID cards, how to start a support group, more helpful information, and Brain Injury Radio, of course. And we will be transitioning over there. Don't panic. We're still going to be here. But to get the best benefit, the most amount of benefit, in when you have a minute over the next few weeks, couple weeks, check out braininjuryradio.org. Get yourself a username and password, and don't do what I did and lose it. Put it somewhere where you know where it is, and that will be great. So looks like we're down to about 7 minutes. This clock and my clock are never really synced, but we have a couple other people on the switchboard. I don't want anyone to think I was ignoring them. You press 1 if you had a closing comment, and if not, I'll just know that I appreciate the fact that you've been listening to the show, and you're still here, so I'm hoping you were able to take something that will help fortify you until next time. And I do want to remind people, just because I can, because I've got the mic right now, is last week, last Wednesday, I interviewed Ruby Taylor, and she's an amazing woman. It was a great show, and I encourage you to check that out. And this Wednesday is going to be someone that many of you have grown to just really like a lot, Dr. Maria Romanis. And she started to be kind of a regular on my show. About every 8 weeks, she went over so big the first time. And the second time, that I think it's been about 8 weeks again, but she's going to be talking about attention and focus. And so she is a doctor who became a survivor of brain injury herself, so it ought to be a really good show. You guys all enjoy her, and she always has a different, refreshing topic. So that's this Wednesday night. Be sure to check her out. And anyway, I think Good night, Frank. Good luck on Monday. We'll see you then. And I'm going to play, Les really does have his special girlfriend, but I tease him about having another girlfriend because I know that he really, really likes her. So I'm going to, he does, he admits it. It's the first thing he says. I have the one that I usually close with, and I always say it's something I believe we all have, and that's a guardian angel. But this gal you can find at leahwest.com. If you're on facebook.com/LeahWest, and it's LEAHWEST. But we both decided we like a lot of her music, but one song that we've been liking recently, and I'm just going to close out with it and tell you guys thanks for being here, and God bless you, and hope you have a great rest of the weekend, and that this isn't your problem unless it's a better idea for it to be. This is Speechless by Leah West. Thanks, everybody.
From the spark to a fire.